is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 22. The World Moved. Zhang Qinghua is standing in the gardens outside of Qianqiao Peak's main healing halls, just outside the main healing halls. He has no idea how he got here. This is fucked up for a number of reasons. Zhang Qinghua isn't the sort of person who ends up in strange locations without remembering how he got there. Sometimes he ends up in strange locations without remembering why he went there, sure. Sometimes he ends up in strange locations because a hectic day-in, day-out emergency took him on a slippery path with too many stops to keep straight, sure. But he's not really a blackout somewhere and wake up somewhere else kind of bro. He's, at worst, a fall asleep in the sitting room and wake up fuzzily in the bedroom, must have woken up at some point, kind of person. Waking up also usually involves picking himself up off a vaguely horizontal surface. But Zhang Qinghua comes back to himself standing, fully dressed and alone, but able to see Qianqiao Peak cultivators and disciples and servants going about their own day-in, day-out business. He's going to sit down now. Zhang Qinghua drops down onto a nearby stone bench. Qianqiao Peak, conveniently, has a lot of those, especially in their gardens. Zhang Qinghua supposes that people who find themselves suddenly unable to stand is a common Qianqiao Peak problem. They haven't put out puke buckets of any kind beside the benches, weirdly enough. So Zhang Qinghua can only assume that they'll be cool with it if he just throws up in the bushes instead. World update complete. The retroactive continuity patch special feature has been successfully installed. Thank you for your purchase. As a complimentary feature, due to the applied corrections and adjustments, all points that host previously lost due to related continuity errors and plot holes have been restored. We wish you the best of luck with your new and improved Proud Immortal Demon Way experience. Zhang Qinghua stares at the pop-up window. He doesn't really have words for how he's feeling right now. He needs something worse than fuck you. The sun is close to setting now, even though it was barely afternoon at the latest when he went to visit Shun Qingqiu. The garden shadows are long and getting longer. The breeze is cooling. The world just moved around him. The world has changed, and he has no idea how it might have changed on him. Well, he has lots of ideas, actually, but they all suck. They're all heart-stoppingly terrifying. He doesn't want to live out Proud Immortal Demon Way as he wrote it. If he just stays on this bench forever, he never has to find out what the system fixed about his life. As long as he stays on this bench, everything is going to be fine. Zhang Qinghua puts his head in his hands and says, very softly, fuck. Zhang Qinghua can't stay on the bench forever. Shang Shibo? He looks up at Mu Qingfang's head disciple, an older teenage girl or young woman. He's too tired to tell. But young, that's clear in her uncertainty, who looks like she's having a real day. Last Zhang Qinghua remembers seeing her was in Shen Qingqiu's room in the middle of the man's qi deviation. He can't read the man's fate in the exhaustion in her now. Good news or bad news isn't clearly written across her face. Ueshiba wants to see you at once, she says. Cool. Pardon? Sure. I'll be there, Shang Qinghua says, clearing his throat, then clearing his throat again and getting to his feet. Standing feels like a real accomplishment right now. Where is he now?
By Shun Shibo's room, Shibo,
the young woman says, still bewildered.
And how's Shun Shixiang doing again?
The young woman smiles slightly.
Shun Shibo's state is stable and promising.
That's good. Shang Qinghua has no way of asking.
Hey, so was Shun Qingju's soul replaced or not? Is he the asshole we know or a new one? Can you slap him across the face to wake him up and see if the name Peerless Cucumber means anything to him? Just for your good old Shang Shibo? Please don't tell Yue Qingyuan or Mu Qingfang.
This way, please, Shang Shibo.
Right.
Shang Qinghua followed Mu Qingfang's head disciple back to the healing halls, feeling as though he understood Yue Qingyuan now more than he had ever wanted to understand the man. There's a strange sort of emptiness in him, a crack right down the middle of his soul, where a lot of feelings are gathered without him feeling them yet. The world is still going on, and he's still going on in it, even though everything that actually matters in it might be gone, and it's kind of all his fault. Yue Qingyuan is standing outside Shen Qingqiu's room, looking like shit, but in the way of someone who looked worse not too long ago and cleaned themselves up. His hair has recently been redone into a simpler style. He's got a new outer robe that doesn't match the rest of his outfit. His eyes are puffy and red. His smile, when he sees Shang Qinghua, is nothing short of resentful. Shang Qinghua bows slightly, but not respectfully.
Changmen Shixiang,
he greets. I'm glad to hear that Shun Shixiang is recovering. Is he awake?
Mu Shudi is looking after him now,
Yue Qingyuan replies.
He's resting.
A purposefully unhelpful non-answer. Not good. Yue Qingyuan is like an insurmountable wall. That cool, he's resting, has already cut off Shang Qinghua's unspoken request to see Shun Qingqiu, so repeating it aloud would look unreasonable. Fuck!
Who's in Shun Qingqiu?
Shang Qinghua doesn't scream. Barely. Assistant Ma has also asked to see Yue Shibo and Shang Shibo at their convenience. Mu Qingfang's head disciple pipes up, standing between them. Shizun has declared permanent quiet hours and restricted access in this healing hall. They're being kicked out by a disciple like she thinks they're going to start throwing punches. That's kind of funny. If only because Shang Qinghua would get his ass kicked so hard in that duel that it's not funny at all, actually.
If Shang Shudi would accompany me outside,
Yue Qingyuan says. So they go back outside. Shang Qinghua walks beside, and slightly behind, his sect leader, as the man leads him through the healing hall gardens in complete silence. It takes Shang Qinghua longer than it should to realize that they're headed to the same patient house where he took the other transmigrator earlier. One of Yue Qingyuan's assistants is standing just outside the house and bows to both of them in greeting. There are two Chongding Peak cultivators outside who appear to be acting as guards, and two more inside. The patient house has been opened and unshuttered. There's even a Chan Chao Peak disciple still cleaning the dust from the corners, and another bringing in a basket of supplies, all in preparation for the person lying unconscious on the bed in the next room. Shang Qinghua can't help but hope, and it's the kid, Peerless Cucumber. Oh, thank
fuck, he thinks. The kid isn't stuck in Shinchingchu. He's still too angry and afraid of what's out there now to think of thanking the system for any of this bullshit, but holy shit, that could have been so bad. That could have been so bad. It makes him want to grab Yue Qingyuan by the front of the robes and shout in his face, "Do you know how fucking bad it could have been, bro?" he would shout. "Do you even know?" "Has the intruder woken yet?" Yue Qingyuan asks. "Not since falling unconscious in Lord Chang's arms earlier, sect leader Yue," answers the Tian Chao Peak cultivator, standing by the bedside. A woman of Mu Qingfang's generation, whose name Zhang Qinghua can't remember at the moment. He introduced himself as Shun Yuan before collapsing. Lord Shang suggested he might have been seeking family, and something got confused. Zhang Qinghua has no memory whatsoever of saying this, but okay. "Okay, fine, that's okay." Yue Qingyuan studies the unconscious young man intently, as if looking for some familial resemblance in him. The kid's glasses are gone somewhere, though the ear piercings are not, and his modern clothes have been switched out for something a little more suitable for the setting. There's not much resemblance to Shen Qingchu, in Zhang Qinghua's opinion, if any similarities at all. "Any injuries?" Zhang Qinghua asks. The Qian Chao Peak cultivator pauses for slightly too long. "Nothing obvious," she says, which doesn't sound very good. "I would like Lord Mu's opinion. There is something unusual about the intruder's cultivation." "He is a cultivator?" Yue Qingyuan asks. "It appears so," the Qian Chao Peak cultivator says uncertainly. New mission. The lines that cannot be crossed. Mission importance, mandatory. Penalties for failure. Mission objective, discover the origins of the mysterious intruder. No one else so much as blinks at the digital ding or the pop-up window. No one else knows it's even there. Oh, the joys of being a transmigrator. Seeing something no one else can see and having to pretend that you can't. Terrible experience. 0 out of 10. Not recommended at all. Zhang Qinghua doesn't fucking like this. But at least it seems like the kid is safe for now. Though Zhang Qinghua won't know the full extent of what the system has done until Peerless Cucumber wakes up. Until this Shen Yuan wakes up. Zhang Qinghua wonders where that name came from. He does not like the apparent connection to Shen Qingchu, but that's probably because he doesn't like a single thing about this. There's just things he doesn't like and things he really doesn't like here. It's all part of the super fun transmigrator experience. Everything kind of sucks. Yue Qingyuan tells the Qian Chao Peak cultivator to keep him informed, either in person or exclusively through his chosen assistant. Then reminds the Chongding Peak cultivators not to let their guard down. Someone who managed to break into Changchong Mountain Sect, into the Qian Chao Peak healing halls, is not to be underestimated. Zhang Qinghua registers the sect leader's orders to his underlings kind of distantly, caught up staring at the unconscious other transmigrator. Character profile updated. Shun Yuan. He's not alone anymore. Holy shit. He really doesn't know how to feel about this. Zhang Qinghua, Yue Qingyuan says. It's time to leave. The sun is setting properly now, casting real darkness across Qian Chao Peak. Zhang Qinghua wants nothing more than to flee the darkness, to run away down the mountain as fast as his sword can carry him, as fast as his feet can carry him, as fast as he can crawl if he has to crawl. But Yue Qingyuan asks to walk him back to Anding Peak. It's one of those shitty requests a person can't really refuse, because the other person is insisting, and is also Zhang Qinghua's sect leader. Zhang Qinghua can't just go, "Hey, actually, I have somewhere to be that is not here right now." When the sect leader insists on taking a walk, a loyal cultivator suddenly has nothing better to do than take a walk. That's how it works. The walk is awful, unsurprisingly. The Rainbow Bridge is a little busy at sunset with young disciples rushing to beat curfew, and cultivators ambling back to the right mountain with the sun's reminder. They all bow to the sect leader as he passes, and Yue Qingyuan smiles and nods at them in return. It isn't until they actually reach Anding Peak, until they have enough privacy for Yue Qingyuan to finally stop torturing Zhang Qinghua and say what he wants to say. Understanding the timeline of events today from Mu Shidi, it would seem that Zhang Shidi visited, and a conversation was had before Shen Qingqiu's health was upset. Yue Qingyuan says flatly, "Mu Qingfeng, you fucking snitch," Zhang Qinghua thinks. Although the sect leader is asking questions, questions have to get answered, and if it wasn't Mu Qingfeng, it was always going to be someone else. Ah, shit. Zhang Qinghua always knew that this confrontation would come around sooner or later. A conversation was had, Zhang Qinghua agrees vaguely, probably in the same tone of voice that other people have totally said, "Just talking isn't illegal, bro." What about? Zhang Qinghua really wants to say, "Oh, you know, bro stuff and things." "Things that should have been talked about a long time ago, I think," he says, instead, without looking at his sect leader. Probably speaking too loudly, but needing to compensate somehow for the heartbeat thundering in his ears. Before it became too late to talk about them at all. The tension is almost tangible. Yue Qingyuan's presence really isn't anything to sneeze at, especially when he's pissed off. Even when he's trying to keep himself and his power tightly under control. The pressure is almost enough to make Zhang Qinghua start sweating on the spot.
"I wasn't aware that you knew these things,"
Yue Qingyuan says coldly. "Secrets never stay as secret as we'd like, especially ones made of lots of little secrets anyone can reach." Honestly, if Shen Qingqiu hadn't immediately decided that Yue Qingyuan secretly wishes I'd stayed dead was the answer behind the man not coming back for him, he probably could have worked the Xuanzu sword secret out for himself. Shen Qingqiu probably could have gotten all the answers he wanted just by convincing the right handful of people that Yue Qingyuan had finally let him in on the secret. Mu Qingfeng, probably Wei Qingwei too, and probably some older Qiangding Peak cultivators, so it was safe to talk to him about their concerns. It wouldn't even have been that hard. Yue Qingyuan stops them, with Zhang Qinghua's leisure house in sight.
"It wasn't your place to share them."
Maybe.
"It wasn't your place,"
Yue Qingyuan repeats, genuinely angry, forcing Zhang Qinghua to finally look at him and meet his eyes.
"Such volatile information shared when Shen Qingqiu was in such a weak state nearly killed him. You overstepped me. You overstepped Mu Qingfeng. You caused him a nearly fatal qi deviation today with your carelessness."
Zhang Qinghua stares and then says, "Are you fucking serious?" Yue Qingyuan, the picture of a formidable cultivator in a righteous fury, actually blinks. "Shen Qingqiu was already dying. Zhang Qinghua cries. That didn't have anything to do with me. But it's easier to blame me, oh, clumsy and thoughtless Zhang Qinghua, than to face the fact that the cracks in Shen Qingqiu's foundation might have been unable to heal because you never gave him any resolution for your past.
You overreacted and overstepped, Yue Qingyuan insists firmly. You caused a great deal of damage thinking you knew what was happening, when in truth, you don't know anything about our past.
Airplane shooting towards the sky actually laughs. This is so ironic. It actually hurts. He has actual chest pain right now from how untrue that is. Or maybe from how fucking stupid this whole situation is, when it never had to be. Although, for all he knows, the system has changed everything on him. So maybe he doesn't know shit. Who knows?
I know more than you think I do, Zhang Qinghua says. But why would you even listen to anything that I say? Shen Qingqiu said it in there already. Did you listen to anything he said?
I would guess not, since you haven't been listening to everything he's been saying, much less everything he hasn't been saying, for years. If you won't listen to him, you won't listen to me. You'd rather try to manage him than admit your own mistakes, huh?
My relationship with Shen Qingqiu is not your concern, Zhang Qinghua, and you seem to have misunderstood, getting unreasonably, even dangerously, angry like this over our affairs when you shouldn't be.
It kind of is, though, since it keeps getting in the way of getting work done. And also because, you know, this big misunderstanding between you nearly killed my Shuxiang. Zhang Qinghua counters. Because if he's got a shovel out here, he might as well keep digging. He has years worth of pent-up digging. I had to let Shen Shuxiang know that there was a real reason why you never came for him, so that he could really be sure that you wouldn't just get fed up eventually and choose the sect over him like he thought you did last time.
Yue Qingyuan looks really, really angry now, but in the most miserable way possible. Whatever you mistakenly believed he had to know, it was still unforgivably reckless to share such volatile information when he was in such a weak state. The man says, clipped, if our affairs truly concerned you so greatly, you should have waited until he was strong enough to hear such things rather than put him at risk.
There might not have been a later. Zhang Qinghua cries in frustration, knowing just how close they came to there not being a later. What perfect time is there for these kinds of things? It was never not going to hurt him or you, but living like this is worse. You had nothing stopping you from saying anything you wanted. You have no one telling you how to live your life, controlling what you can or can't say. At any time, you could have decided you didn't want to live this way anymore and that you didn't want to cause the person you care about any more pain because you were too ashamed to admit your mistakes.
Zhang Qinghua has no idea how much sway the system has over people's behaviors here, honestly, but he's thinking not much, if any, at least before it pulled another update on him. The system apparently couldn't make Shen Qingqiu act like a total scum villain to the protagonist if the man decided he wanted to be more than that. And apparently he did, just like the system couldn't make airplane shooting towards the sky behave like the original Zhang Qinghua. It had to trick him into putting the story back on track. What fucking excuse does Yue Qingyuan have for any of this?
You are taking this situation too personally, Yue Qingyuan declares coldly, with a powerful note of finality, addressing none of what Zhang Qinghua just said. You have a very simplistic understanding of a very complicated situation. Do not involve yourself in these matters again. Do not go near Shen Qingqiu until he is fully healed. Do not speak to him about whatever you think you understand from rumors and risk his recovery again.
Okay, now Zhang Qinghua understands Shen Qingqiu more than he ever wanted to understand the man. Yue Qingyuan's intense attention really does suck. This is so ironic that he might throw up in the nearest bush. Or maybe he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about here. Maybe the system switched everything up. He has no idea what's real and what isn't right now. Oh, what are you gonna do? Shang Changhua demands of the man. Fire me? Yue Qingyuan is clearly super unimpressed by this comeback. Shang Changhua can't totally believe he just said it.
Do not approach Shen Qingqiu again, Yue Qingyuan repeats calmly. I will inform Mu Qingfeng that you are not welcome on Tianqiao Peak at this time.
Asshole, Shang Qinghua thinks.
We will speak on this more at another time, Yue Qingyuan decides.
Shang Qinghua doesn't answer, instead turning his attention to the light coming down the path, held in the hand of one of his head disciples. Peng Hung Peng slows to see his master in a standoff of sorts with their sect leader. The young man is carrying a package of some important-looking scrolls under his other arm, because the grind of Anding Peak never stops, and he very slowly comes up next to them, kind of like someone approaching the scene of a really bad traffic accident.
Fine. Thank you for this productive discussion, Changmen Shixiang.
Shang Qinghua says.
Good night, Shang Shidi.
Yue Qingyuan agrees. The man leaves without another word or so much as a nod. Shang Qinghua definitely doesn't offer the man anything resembling a bow. Chang Chang Mountain Sect leader soon vanishes into the darkness of the evening. Peng Hung Peng lets out a low whistle.
Just for that, you're banished from the sect, Shang Qinghua snaps.
Oh, please, no, Peng Hung Peng says, unintimidated.
Anyway, I have some correspondence for you, Shifu. Apologies for interrupting that meeting, but you did say to bring the next delivery from Huanhua Palace to you right away and not leave it in the office to get covered in grease and sauce and stains.
Shang Qinghua has no memory of saying that, but it sounds like him. He accepts the mysterious parcel, which is quite light, while Peng Hung Peng keeps the scrolls for himself, which is, hey, less work! A totally meaningless bright spot in what is otherwise a super strong contender for the worst day in both of Shang Qinghua's known lives. He's assuming that he is not going to like whatever is in this package.
Peng Hung Peng.
Yes, Shifu?
There's an accidental intruder currently being treated on Tianqiao Peak, Shang Qinghua says thoughtfully. In one of the private patient houses near the main healing halls, the one with the crabapple tree just outside, under guard by Changding Peak cultivators, and being treated by Tianqiao Peak cultivators. I want to know everything that happens to the intruder, but be careful about it, or else you might get banned from Tianqiao Peak too. Go make friends with Mu Qingfeng's head disciple or something. And I need you to get him a message as soon as he's awake.
Peng Hung Peng blinks to hear that the Anding Peak Lord isn't allowed on Tianqiao Peak anymore, but he nods and waits expectantly for the message.
Shit. Now Shang Qinghua needs to come up with a message.
Tell him, remain where you are. Everything is going to be fine, Shang Qinghua decides finally. He doesn't have the energy to come up with anything clever right now. Nothing about airplanes or cucumbers or modern times. Especially since he doesn't know what state the kid will be in when he wakes up. The most important thing right now is to make sure the other transmigrator doesn't run off into a bad situation. It's a very dangerous world out there, and since he's the one who wrote it, anything that happens will kind of be on his hands, and he doesn't need any guilt or the system on his ass for it.
You can tell him who it's from.
Yes, Shifu.
Keep this quiet. Only the dumpling thieves, if anyone.
Yes, Shifu.
Ah, wow. He can see his disciples' burning determination to squeeze as much gossip as possible from the Chen Chao Peak disciples to find out what happened. Good luck to him with that. Very good luck to him with making friends with Mu Qingfang's head disciple or whatever. Shang Qinghua needs a spy on Chen Chao Peak because he's going to be stuck sending Mu Qingfang an official message tomorrow morning, probably, asking for an update instead of going over himself. He's also probably going to tell Mu Qingfang to please tell Shen Qingqiu that their sect leader has banned him from Chen Chao Peak because he has no problem tattling on Yue Qingyuan like that. He wants to let the man know, hey, I'd apologize in person for dumping all that on you like that, especially years too late, but a certain asshole bro says I'm a danger to your health. It's not technically speaking to the man, Xiangmen Shixiang. Have fun with that. Xiang Qinghua dismisses Peng Hongpeng and enters his leisure house very carefully, looking for a sign that something has changed. All the protections seem to still be in place. It doesn't look like anything has moved. Still, Shang Qinghua can't feel at ease not knowing what else he might have done that he doesn't remember. Not knowing how the world has shifted around him is a lot. He puts the parcel on his table, pretends to consider not opening it. Yeah, no, he'd totally die of curiosity if he left it. And then opens it. It's from Duan Tianyu, apparently, which is weird when Shang Qinghua thought that Duan Tianyu had settled at Huanhua Palace for a while to do some teaching. Duan Tianyu has sent him a carefully packaged map, which looks partially damaged, and a letter which basically just says, Master Shang, I believe I have finally found that treasure you've been looking for all these years. Years? Years? Shang Qinghua thinks disbelievingly. He doesn't remember searching for something for years. He definitely doesn't remember tasking the Huanhua Palace sect cultivator with helping him find it. What the fuck is going on? The map leads to, somewhere out by Tianyi Overlook Sect, maybe? If reading poorly stored, possibly ancient maps was as easy as dramas made it look, Shang Qinghua would be able to tell. But as things stand right now, in the dim light of his leisure house, he has no idea what he's supposed to be excited about here. The last time he let higher powers convince him to go to an isolated location, he got tricked into paying the system to change reality on him. There's no way he's doing that again. He's had enough vacations for a lifetime. Fuck you very much.
New mission. Death of the author. Mission importance, mandatory. Penalties for failure. Mission objective, travel to the lost temple.
Getting two new missions is bad enough, but Shang Qinghua does a double take at the name of this new mission. What the fuck is that mission name? Does it really say Death of the Author? Being informed that he'd lost the ability to read would be really good news right now. Oh, bro, you're hallucinating that. Would be super good news. That's where Shang Qinghua's life is right now. What the fuck? Shang Qinghua says aloud to the pop-up window. No! The pop-up window doesn't cancel the mission. The worst mission name he's ever seen doesn't change. No! Shang Qinghua repeats louder. No, you don't get to fucking do this to me. What the fuck did I ever do to you? Hey, I've done some shitty things in this lifetime, sure, but you don't get to do this to me, you know? Not now. Better story, superior work. I'm the author. If these are mistakes, they're mine to fix. If anyone gets to decide what that means, it's me. The pop-up window closes, running away like a coward. Change it back. Whatever you did, change it back. I don't want the Proud Immortal Demon Way experience. None of it. I don't want any version of that shit show of a story and its stupid fucking characters. Just let me live. Nothing. So much for customer service. So much for surviving this stupid fucking plot with his family in one piece. Xiangqing Hua is so angry he can barely breathe with it. It comes out in the upending of a chair, the overturning of an end table, and then a dish shattering against a wall when the first two aren't satisfying enough. It turns out that seeing the broken ceramic on the floor isn't satisfying enough either. It doesn't change anything. Except now the dish is broken. It's so, so much easier to break something than make anything. And Xiangqing Hua is ready to scream over it. Millions of words. Years of his life. Years of both lives. Xiangqing Hua collapses into the nearest upright piece of furniture in his sitting room and puts his head in his hands again. Is the system finally getting rid of me? He thinks, feeling like he's going to break into a million pieces next time, maybe. Might just throw himself against the wall next. See how it goes. Bro, is this it? Have you had enough of my bullshit? Enough of me changing the story? Are you replacing me now? Because I'm too unstable to exist in this world too? They're not good thoughts. It feels like the last thing he needs when there's a hum of power behind him. The cool whoosh and crackle of a portal opening. The faint hair-raising warning of demonic energy. A chilled breeze floods the room and curls fingers around Xiangqing Hua's heart. Xiangqing Hua forces himself back to his feet at the same time that Mo Beijun steps into his leisure house. The demon lord is always imposing, but today he seems intimidating in a way that brings up every old memory Xiangqing Hua has carefully, gratefully, and resentfully placed at a distance. Mo Beijun's robes are more severe and formal than Xiangqing Hua has seen, more or less ever. Silver thread and blue jewels on fancy black robes. His hair is twisted up into complicated braids. He's carelessly carrying more glittering wealth on him in ornaments and embroidery than most people will see in a lifetime. The man might even be wearing eyeshadow and other makeup, but Xiangqing Hua isn't brave enough to ask. He looks like a completely different person to the last time Xiangqing Hua saw him. Mo Beijun's mood is completely different, too. He's scowling as he steps inside, fixing a glimmering cuff, not yet looking at his human servant. The demon lord isn't radiating anger to make the air burn or disgust to make the air squirm, too tightly contained for that. But his displeasure is leaking out even so. Every faraway and long-ago fear Xiangqing Hua didn't know he still had is clawing for space, taking up all the room in his chest and his throat and even his feet. Mo Beijun steps on a broken piece of ceramic and pauses. His expression goes blank. He looks up, eyes landing on Xiangqing Hua first, which makes Xiangqing Hua realize that he doesn't really know what he looks like right now. Like someone who has had a very, very long day, at the very least. Mo Beijun's gaze then travels over the leisure house, over the upset furniture and open parcel, before landing on Xiangqing Hua again. What happened here? The demon lord demands furiously. Xiangqing Hua doesn't have an answer. He's got Death of the Author glowing behind his eyelids every time he blinks. Mo Beijun takes a sudden step forward. Too sudden! Too sudden! Xiangqing Hua scrambles backwards out of reach. Mo Beijun stops like that, with his hand outstretched. His scowl deepens, if anything, as he clenches and lowers his hand. He scans the room again, finding nothing. You are bleeding, Mo Beijun says. Xiangqing Hua looks down at his hands. Oh, from the broken dish. His grip had cracked it even before he'd thrown it. Now he's got one of those long, near-invisible cuts on his fingers, dripping a surprising amount of red. Movement out of the corner of his eye. Mobei Jun steps forward, not reaching this time. But Shang Qinghua skips back again, twice, his hands held protectively close. Mobei Jun stops again. Shang Qinghua doesn't know how to explain himself. Death of the Author is playing on a fucking loop inside his brain. Things changed between them over the years, but now the system has changed things again, and Shang Qinghua can't not remember every nightmare he's ever had about the way his character is supposed to die. The system hasn't undone the years he's spent sweating over how easy it would be for the Demon Lord to reach over and kill him off for being too much or not enough. It doesn't help now that Mobei Jun is looking outraged.
Shang Qinghua, I am not going to hurt you,
the man grits out. He doesn't take another step forward, but the anger in the air sends Shang Qinghua another step backwards anyway. What a statement! What a promise! He laughs, unwillingly and unconvincingly. I know, my king, I know, he lies. It's just... I've been having... Well, you have before. Ah, shit, he didn't mean to say that. It clearly cuts at Mobei Jun's outrage, though the man still scowls at him. I mean, you did, Shang Qinghua defends frantically, in the world's worst possible defense. For a long time, and you never said you wouldn't do it again, and you never said that you regretted it either. Lots of threats were made on my life, actually, for no reason, and those were never retracted. But I know, I know. Mobei Jun tries to come forward again, around a piece of overturned furniture, and Shang Qinghua steps in the opposite direction. He can't force himself to stay still right now. He physically can't do it.
Stop flinching away,
Mobei Jun snaps. Yes, of course, of course. It's just, it's not so easy on this end to move past it, my king, Shang Qinghua says, his throat burning with something that might be fear and might be panic and might be rage. This servant has worked hard to understand all those unsaid and totally unclear things. Sorry I hurt you, sorry I demeaned you, sorry I treated you like shit because I was scared you'd betray me too. Sorry, Shang Qinghua, I regret it and I won't do it again. Of course. Mobei Jun stops trying to slowly come around the overturned chair. Shang Qinghua stops as well, heart thundering. He looks down at his bleeding hand and realizes that he may have just gotten some on his face while he was talking. Ah, that's not good. That must look terrible.
What is wrong with you? The Demon Lord demands.
Everything? Shang Qinghua suggests. Mobei Jun doesn't seem to know what to do with an answer like that. It's true. Inconvenient, but true.
Shang Qinghua, what happened?
Mobei Jun says slowly. I can't talk about it.
What happened?
I really can't. Mobei Jun exhales sharply. Jaw clenched. I can't do this, Shang Qinghua says helplessly. My king, I can't do this right now.
What?
Shang Qinghua gestures between them, taking a deep breath like that will help fix any part of this ongoing shit show. He feels like he's unraveling. My king, I can't help you right now. My apologies, but I'm in no state to be of service. Things aren't good here right now, unless it's some kind of emergency? Mobei Jun stares at him for a long time. Shang Qinghua stares back. He really can't talk about any of it. What can he say? My king, do you remember all the same things I do? He can't say. My king, do you remember anything that I don't? My king, do you hate me again? My king, have you been set back on the path of the story I wrote? Am I going to betray you? Are you going to kill me? My king, did you feel the world move earlier? My king, I wrote the world, and now I've lost all control of it.
My king, please don't suddenly become someone else on me after all these years.
No, Mo Beijun says finally. The matter can wait.
Shang Qinghua can't disguise his relief. Thank you, my king. The demon lord he first met, the man who was going to kill him, was never so considerate, never so indulgent. That man didn't even call him by name. If Shang Qinghua had come face to face with that man again, if everything had been undone, he might have lost his mind, just like that. He wouldn't have been able to deal with that. My king, I need to be alone right now, Shang Qinghua says hoarsely. Please go away. Mo Beijun still doesn't move. Please, Shang Qinghua repeats. Still nothing. Please.
Fine.
With one last glare around the darkened room, Mo Beijun opens another portal and leaves as easily as he'd arrived. When the last shadow and spark fades from the air, Shang Qinghua drops to his knees in the middle of his partially ruined sitting room. This isn't over, he knows. It's not even close to being over. Mo Beijun wanted something. Shang Qinghua just blurted out a whole lot of things he shouldn't, and he's probably going to have to answer for every one of them later. The problem Mo Beijun was bringing to him will only come back to haunt him later, he's sure. But he honestly cannot deal with one more bad thing today. He really can't do it. Death of the author? What the fuck is that? Maybe the name doesn't mean anything, but that's two surprise missions right now. Shang Qinghua has no idea where to start with these missions, and no fucking clue where these missions will end. This is uncharted territory, secret maps aside. If Mo Beijun was carrying a third surprise mission, fuck that. Shang Qinghua stays on the floor for a long time, past what most people would agree is an okay amount of time to stay on the floor. As a rule, Shang Qinghua thinks people who have to suddenly take a seat on the floor aren't having an okay time at all. The time he's having is enough to justify staying on the floor forever. But that won't stop the bleeding. Or clean up the broken ceramic off the floor, or write the overturned furniture. Shun Qingqiu is still alive. The other transmigrator seems fine. Shang Qinghua lost a little time, but his relationships with his disciples don't seem changed. His relationship with Yue Qingyuan was bound to take a bad turn as soon as he told Shun Qingqiu the truth. His relationship with Mo Beijun is... It looks like if there's been any change between them, he did it himself just now. Fuck, fuck, fuck! It could be worse, Shang Qinghua lets himself think. And then he freezes. Shang Qinghua jumps to his feet and runs out of his leisure house into the night. Shang Qinghua flies down the mountain to Sanjiao Town. Or maybe he falls. He flies or he falls, it's one or the other. If he falls, he doesn't feel it. If he flies, it's not a smooth escape. The night rushes past him, and he's in front of his sister-in-law's house without remembering exactly how he came to be there. He knocks on the door and lets himself inside, feeling a lightening spread through his skin when the door gives way like it's done 1,000 times before. It's not locked to him. The darkened home inside doesn't belong to a stranger. It's familiar. It's still here. Liu Qingge is there, with the Cheng Luan sword in hand. His eyes narrow at the sight of Shang Qinghua hastily closing the door behind him.
What happened?
Who is it? Now the lightning goes down to his bones. Luo Jiahui pushes past Liu Qingge, the both of them clearly having just rolled out of bed, and her eyes go wide at the sight of him. Huo Hua! And then his sister-in-law is in his arms, tutting over the bloodstains.
It's just a cut, Shang Ching Hua says hoarsely. Really? It's just a cut. It's fine.
Shang Ching Hua is wrestled into the sitting room so that his sister-in-law can treat his cut and wash his face, all while Liu Qingge hovers like he's expecting them to be attacked. Shang Ching Hua has no explanation for either of them. He can't say, I would have gone to go check on my nephew to make sure the system didn't correct years of being family, but Luo Bingha was always going to be okay. Even if he suddenly didn't remember who I was, he still would have been there. I could have worked with that. It would have felt like someone had ripped my fucking heart out, bro, but I could have rolled with that somehow. He can't say. I had to check on you because you could have just been gone. I accidentally provoked a chi deviation in someone who is already unstable, he says instead. I told them something that caused them to have an unpleasant conversation with someone else that provoked it. I accelerated it. They nearly died. But it's fine now. They should be fine now. It's just, it's been a really long day today. Luo Jiahui and Liu Qingge both look at him like they know he's not telling them everything. But they let it go. They don't exchange a knowing look. Liu Qingge nods sympathetically, and Luo Jiahui squeezes the uninjured hand she's holding.
What can I do?
Liu Qingge asks. I don't think there's much to do right now except wait.
I'll make tea, Luo Jiahui decides.
Over several days at least, Jia Mei, there's no need to stay up.
I'm making tea.
Okay, tea sounds good. Zhang Qinghua's sister-in-law makes tea while he looks around the house, searching for some change that doesn't belong. It really seems like even the system couldn't touch Luo Jiahui's house. Slowly, Zhang Qinghua starts to relax. His sister-in-law didn't go anywhere. His friend and her husband is fine. His little sister-in-law and nephew must be sleeping peacefully up the mountain right now. They haven't forgotten him.
Luo Jiahui serves tea. She hands Shang Qinghua a cup and then sits beside him, leaning in against him until he has no other choice but to put an arm around her.
Liu Qingge sits across from them, sword on his knee, keeping an eye on the door.
I made some pretty bad mistakes today, Zhang Qinghua confesses to her.
That's okay, Luo Jiahui says easily.
Oh? We'll fix them.
Oh, really? That's a relief, Zhang Qinghua says. I'm so glad to have you. His voice breaks on the last word. He can't hide that.
Luo Jiahui leans more of her weight against him and reaches up to hold the hand of the arm draped over her shoulders.
Liu Qingge shifts a leg so that it leans partly against one of Shang Qinghua's in a casual but warm touch. He's going to have to answer lots of questions eventually. They're going to drag as much out of him as he can give without bringing down the warning klaxons. But for now, the quiet is left to rest like a blanket.
This is manageable. It's just two new missions and another transmigrator. And then maybe another mission after that. He can handle new and weird missions. He can handle this peerless cucumber kid. This is still his world, isn't it? Even if it's not his story anymore, he lives here. He changed everything once. He can change it again if he has to. If the system wants him dead, it'll have to catch him first. And he can do a little groveling to fix everything he messed up today all by himself. Dignity? What dignity? Pride? What pride? Airplane shooting towards the sky sold those things in another life. Yue Qingyuan and Mo Beijun will have no choice but to forgive him for everything he said under stress, just to get him to shut the fuck up. Everything is going to be fine.